Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of the Art of Selling podcast. On this show, we basically talk about all the best kept secrets that can help you sell more stuff to more people so that you can benefit and add value to your customers, your business, your staff, and essentially your family. Now, we wish that a lot of this information was around when we started out 5 to 6 years ago. It wasn't, so we invested a ton of money, close to almost R1 million, in hiring some of the best sales gurus, marketing experts, and business operators to help us better understand these things. And now we're sharing all of the information with you for free so that you don't have to struggle the way that we did. Now, with that said, you're probably wondering, what is the catch? There's really no catch. All you have to do is just show up with an open mind, leave your ego at the door, and maybe just start to implement some of these perspectives in your business on a daily basis. So today I have with me our co-hosts, Gilbert Kumbokwe.
Hey, hey, thanks for having me.
And Vickers van Beek.
Hey, hey, hey.
Nice to have you guys here. Today I want to really just dissect and really talk about how trust and credibility can affect sales of a business. Now, we've mentioned, you know, we've spoken about trust. We've touched on it throughout the couple of episodes. And if you are watching this episode right now, if it's the first time, I want to encourage you to go back to episode number 1 and 2 specifically. There's a lot of value that you might be missing out on. And in those episodes, we talk a lot about trust and credibility specifically. And in this episode, we want to unpack this further, talk about all the different nuances about trust and credibility, why it's so important, how you can go about building it, not only for your brand, but also for your product, how it could potentially help you improve your marketing and sales strategies. So first of all, Gilbert, thanks for joining us. And I really want to just unpack, especially from an e-commerce marketing perspective, the biggest pain point we face as a marketing agency, I suppose, is when a new business comes on board, especially someone who's just launched their brand and, you know, the products that they're launching under this brand. And that's the difference. I think brand and product's not the same thing. People have to have trust in your brand, and they also have to have trust in the products the brand is selling. I think it's just something that a lot of people don't necessarily understand, or they completely ignore it or completely ignorant to it. If a new client had to join V8, you know, how do we address these issues? What do we talk about essentially? Because without trust and credibility, it's really tough to penetrate the market and get people to understand what your brand and product's all about.
So usually when it comes down to e-commerce brands that want to start doing marketing, it's important to be able to showcase where they've been featured, or the products in themselves, who's using them, how they're using them. I think what's important is to understand that if people don't know you, then they also have no knowledge of truly if your brand is credible. They need to get signals to show that this is a brand that I can trust. And how do you go about building that trust? Well, you go about being featured in an online article, in a magazine. And you know what? Sometimes I actually think that some brands don't leverage all the assets that they have. Some businesses have actually been featured in well-known magazines, but they don't put it anywhere on their websites.
Or they're in really well-known retail stores.
Yes, well-known retail stores. But however, they hide those things. And again, like, not everybody would understand that actually that's what helps build trust and credibility. So it's simple things like that where you've been featured, you're in well-known brands, offline stores, and you're in areas where it's very visible for individuals to see you offline. And it's these type of assets and these type of, you know, even just putting the logo up just to say, we're also in this game. We've been featured in, you know, a certain magazine that might be very popular for your audience and they understand it. Those little nuances, those little things there already help to just build that bit of trust. One additional thing that also helps to build trust is the story of the brand. Maybe even putting the founder on the homepage with a little bit of a description, because at the end of the day, I've always said, people deal with people. People speak to people. People don't speak to a business. It's an inanimate object. People speak with people, and people resonate with people. So why you'd want to put your brand stories? Because you want to resonate at a more emotional level. There's a connection that you can build by simply putting your brand story, what you stand for, why you're in business, what is it that you promise to deliver, right? And helping that connection to build in that way just amplifies it for the individual who's trying to build some sort of connection. You know, they might not even build a connection to your brand with the trust badges. They might actually build a connection to your brand because of the brand story that's behind it. And especially when you're just starting out with, you know, you have no credibility maybe even. Having a story there that resonates is something that can already build trust. And I think sometimes we might over, you know, think or not think about it really and the effect that it has. But when you understand that people deal with people and people connect with other people, your brand story in itself can actually have a massive impact in just increasing the trust factor.
Yeah, man. I think the reason I asked you this is because, you know, 60-70% of our client base is e-commerce businesses. And I think one of the most difficult things to do is to take an e-commerce business that's brand new. It's got a new brand and a new product and you need to grow it. It's just super hard because of the fact that nobody really trusts you in the marketplace. And from an e-com perspective, that's one of the first things that we need to work on should we want to get traction for the specific company. Now, Vix, on your end, now looking at an e-commerce business versus a local business, you know, it's not really the same thing, but trust and credibility is essentially still a very crucial element to get someone to decide to go into that store or into that spa or into that auto dealership where they are. And I was just wondering, like, from your perspective, you know, what do you have to say on this?
Yeah, I think it's also looking at the customer journey, right? So what we usually, more practical examples from my end, when you look at a more traditional local brick and mortar business, number one, it's important to have a website, because if you run ads for a local business, people are going to want to see where you are based, what kind of other services you provide, how good is the branding of the website as well, because that's automatically going to create a perceived image of your business already. And then another thing we like to do is run a competition campaign of some sorts, just to kind of, like, in your particular area, because it's a local business, you can get really specific with the area you are targeting. And running something like a competition in a particular area, or just video ads that showcases your business and how you deal with customers and how you provide your service. And the repetition of people in that area seeing you is also going to start creating trust and credibility. So those are, like, two things that we really want to kind of start doing from a marketing perspective, and then also from a branding perspective when it comes to your website and your ads, to make sure that we, as soon as somebody decides that, or as soon as you run a good offer that will get people's attention, that as soon as somebody does start the researching process, that there is something for them to look at that's immediately going to create a high perceived value of your brand already in their minds.
Yeah, I think we have these conversations all the time with, you know, clients and just other business owners in general. And I think over the last 5 years, we've worked with probably over 300 business owners by now. And we always have a trust and credibility conversation with them. But it's almost like a lot of them still don't really understand why it's so crucial. We know why it's crucial because it makes our lives a lot easier to sell the product or service. But I would love to just unpack essentially why trust and credibility is so important. And I think the first thing that I want to touch on, at least from my opinion, is that it creates a sense of confidence in the specific product or service that you're selling. So if people, you know, regardless of the tactic or the strategy that you use to build that trust and credibility, if people have a sense of trust and credibility in your business, they will have a sense of confidence in what you are saying about your product or brand as well.
I think it's, you can almost look at it like, what are the chances, you know, of you bumping into someone on if you had to bump into someone on the street and they say to you, hey, let me take you out for dinner, and it's all on me. What are the chances of you trusting and believing that individual? You're going to be a bit apprehensive. You know, there's going to be alarm bells ringing, to be honest, because they're a stranger. And the same way with your brand, you're a stranger into people's lives. And it's important to understand the know, like, and trust factor. People buy from brands they know, like, and trust. And it's important to understand what it takes to build up that trust. In that example I was giving about the brand story, I mean, a simple thing of showing how your products are made to a certain degree, or maybe if you invest in the communities around you, you're not just a brand that sells a product. Maybe there's something you stand for beyond just the product itself. That in itself is something people would invest in, right? There's customers out there that aren't necessarily just buying the product. They're actually investing in what the brand stands for. And it's understanding that, ensuring that you can get your message across. Here is why I say you should trust me, because I work hard, not only with your money to continue making products, but your money actually goes and helps communities around this infrastructure that we've built. We provide jobs, we give back to the communities. There's a lot more invested from consumers as opposed to just the product itself. The brand is a promise. And if you are upholding your promise, people invest in your brand's promise. And they're the ones that start to trust you. And when they trust you, they'll keep coming back and they'll believe in you. And as long as, of course, you're fulfilling that brand promise that you mentioned in the beginning. But it's things like that that simply just needs to be visible, needs to be articulated, the messaging that you need to be having on your website so that you can help people trust and believe and like you, and showing them the things that you do behind in the background, that is what they're really going to also invest in. And that's how you just build trust and credibility over time.
Yeah. You use the analogy of someone bumping to you into the street or bumping into you in the street. And you said, "Hey, let's go out for dinner, stranger. It's all on me." And what's happening is that you asking yourself, well, can I really trust this person? And if you have an element of trust, then you would say, okay, cool. If it's a friend that you know, you'll be like, "Hey, Gil, nice to see you, man. Yeah, let's go for dinner. Shot, all on you." But in essence, what I'm hearing you also say is that there's an element of perceived risk, because if there's a stranger that's telling you to, "Hey, let's go for dinner," it's all on me. There's risk involved. Like, can I trust this guy, or is he someone who's a serial killer that I probably don't know of? Like, this is probably not a good idea just to allow a stranger into my private space like this. So it's really looking at the perceived risk. If a brand doesn't have trust and credibility with its audience, the consumers, there's this perceived risk at the end of the day. And I also look at it as a business owner doing business with another business owner. So, it's almost like if you bumped into someone in the street and they said, "Hey, let's go into business together." You're like, wait. Let's just get to know each other a little bit better. We had a cool couple of chats. And if you bumped into Elon Musk on the street and he's like, "Hey, I like you. Let's go out for dinner." You'd be like, "Okay, cool." And he'd be like, "Hey, let's start a business together." You'd be like, "Okay, sure. Good idea, Elon." Mm. So it's really understanding that the more trust and credibility you have, the less risk the consumer and the customer feels. There's not that much risk involved in the actual transaction that might take place.
Yeah, to me, it's also the motive. Like, if you bump into a random person on the street, using that analogy, to me, it's like, what is the motive behind them wanting to buy dinner? And I think if we take that to the marketing environment, in all of the offers that we run for customers, essentially is, we always want a really good reason as to why we're selling something and why we're having this good deal. Because that also creates a certain element of trust and credibility and legitimacy behind the business. Because obviously, like, I'm always going to question the motive behind why are they running this really good offer. It doesn't make logical sense to me. And if that also makes sense to the customer itself, that also obviously just boosts your trust and credibility.
I guess ultimately, one main reason as well you want to build trust and credibility is because that trust is what allows you to influence the decision that the customer essentially makes, because without it, it's going to be an uphill battle for you to get that customer to, the stage that you want them to get to. So that trust simply helps to improve your chances and increase your chances of actually getting the customer to take the journey that you want them to take.
And there's some tangible examples of that as proof, because if you are a brand that people trust and we had to, market that. So for example, if we had to run strategic digital ads in order to get a customer to spend money with a brand, it's a lot easier to do if the consumers already know the brand. We can see that the cost per purchase, the cost per acquisition, or the cost per lead for a brand that's well known is always less compared to a brand that people don't know. And a funny example of this is way back when we started, I think we worked with a company called USN Sports Nutrition. And they, for example, are probably one of the leaders in the sports nutrition space. Now, having worked with multiple sports nutrition brands before, we immediately saw the difference in cost per acquisition compared to the USN brand versus a smaller market brand that people didn't trust. So this brand reputation that they had allowed us to run a lot more profitable ads, essentially, on Facebook and Google and all these other platforms because of the brand trust that was already in the marketplace. Versus a brand that people don't know, there's this barrier that people have to like work through in order to decide whether they're going to buy the product or not. But if people already trust you, it's almost like there's more transparency. So they're like more inclined to make a decision, and usually that decision is favorable.
You have more weight in the marketplace when you're a brand that is trusted and is credible versus one that isn't.
100%. What we also noticed with that exercise was that people are more inclined to buy other products from you if they trust the brand. So think about Apple, for example. They're now launching their Vision Pro headset. I think they speculated that it's going to be $3,500 for the headset. I can tell you now, that's probably going to be sold out the moment it launches, because there will be people there, diehard fans of Apple, who are going to buy that purely because of the trust they have in the brand itself. That's obviously accumulated and compounded over the years. So the moment that product launches, guaranteed it's going to do well, because one, it's novelty, but it's also backed by a ton of trust, regardless of the price. And if they had to, if another brand had to launch a similar product that's either just as good or better, but nobody knew about the brand or that it even existed, they're probably not going to see the same success in the marketplace.
Yeah, like have you guys heard of a phone called the Nothing Phone? Or I think it's something like that.
I've heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, like it's similar to that. Like there's a lot of people, there's a whole internet kind of like trend that's going on of people comparing that to the iPhone and saying it's better than the iPhone, it's half the price and all of that. And I'm sure the technology is there, but Apple will continuously keep on outselling that brand purely because they have this massive weight in the marketplace, especially in the phone market. So yeah, like that's a big advantage for a brand eventually.
Yeah, and I think the moral of the story, and specifically for this specific episode, the message that we want to get across is, if you're a local business or an e-commerce business, regardless of the type of business that you are, but if you're entering the market space and you're fairly new, the number one thing that you should be doing is figuring out how to build trust and credibility under your audience. Because that immediately is going to do so many other things for your brand, in favor to your brand, that's going to allow you to smoothen the ride of more growth, essentially. And I think that is the number one thing that if I launched a new product today or a new brand today, that's the number one thing that I would spend all my time and effort on is like, how do I make this brand perceived as something that people can trust and something that's actually credible in the marketplace?
Yeah, like we as Viet Media as well, like I don't know, we can use this example perhaps. We, on a monthly basis, we get an average of about 200 to 300 inquiries. Yeah, Yandra, I don't know if you want to break that down as to how we've gotten to this place of the vast majority of those inquiries being organic inquiries, because we've been in this space for quite a while and we've built somewhat of a brand. Like maybe you could maybe give us a breakdown of just how we got to this point.
Yeah, actually, good idea. And I think looking at our cost per acquisition as a company 2-3 years ago versus our cost per acquisition now, funny enough, and I worked it out the other day, like our cost per acquisition is cheaper than it was 2 years ago. What's funny is that most companies in the e-commerce space specifically, their cost per acquisition is continuously going up because Facebook's advertising is getting more and more competitive. So Google AdWords is getting more and more competitive. So all these digital marketing channels are getting more competitive, which means the actual cost of running ads on these platforms are getting more expensive, which means the cost of acquiring a client or a customer on those platforms are getting more expensive. But we have a more affordable customer acquisition price than we had 2 years ago. And yeah, maybe there's better marketing strategies in place. Maybe we're giving it more attention, whatever it may be. But I can tell you now, on the back of having been involved in the process, you know, this whole time, I can tell you it's because of the fact that we've built brand and people are starting to realize that, and they are gravitating towards a brand that they could potentially trust.
Yeah. And if you had to break that down, like how would you say we kind of got to this point? Like, we obviously we do a lot of content and we put a lot of content out there. And how would you advise somebody that is maybe in a position where they really want to amp up the branding side of the business? How would they go about that?
Yeah, man, I think if I have to unpack what we've done, and this might not necessarily always work for everybody, these are just perspectives that we're sharing, but I think, Gil, you remember, we had a meeting with, I think it was Old Mutual, back when we were 6 months old, and it was you, me, and Wandile. It was you and Wandile, actually, but I think it was in the first or the second meeting. There was a meeting that I wasn't a part of. And what happened was they said, we like you guys, you're really awesome, but we're going to go with someone else. And the reason they didn't say that to our faces, but in an email afterwards, it was clear that they didn't really trust that we can get the job done because we were small, we were new, you know, and we were also quite young back then. And on that day, I said to Gil, well, in that week, to be more specific and to be more truthful to the conversation, but like a very short time after that, I said, we need something that's going to make us stand out from everybody else. And that's when we started writing our first book, well, the book together, Adjust Together. Because I said, I know if we can write a book, publish it, we self-published it, that essentially is going to immediately, if we walk into the next meeting of someone who doesn't know who we are, the moment we put a book on the table, we say, hey, here's a free copy of our book talking about digital advertising and what you should be doing with your business. Immediately in the back of that individual's mind, they're going to go, oh, shit, okay. Well, obviously these people know what they're doing. They've got a book. Like, there must be some sense to what they're saying. Because immediately that book creates a sense of authority. And that comes back to our cognitive biases, which is authority. And if you haven't watched episode number 2, we speak about emotional and cognitive biases. And that is the reason we wrote that book. And in 2020, we actually started running that book as a lead magnet. Mm. I think back in lockdown 2020, we ran ads to have people download the book for free, the e-version, and cost us like $1 a download or $2 a download because nobody was running ads back in lockdown. So we built up a database of like 5,000 or 8,000, you know, SMEs. And essentially a lot of them consumed the information because they didn't really have much else to do in a 21-day lockdown period. And aside from that, we kept building trust and credibility by sending emails of value with valuable information. Then we launched our first podcast series back in 2020, you remember. And along with the podcast, along with the book, along with obviously the case studies of success, the undeniable stack of proof, essentially, as Alex Ramosi would say, we started building trust and credibility. But that trust and credibility only really happened if someone, you know, saw what we had to say through our own advertising. But through all that success and continuing to build brand, word of mouth started, you know, essentially entering the marketplace. And now when people search, maybe they find us on Google, maybe they see a Facebook ad, but immediately the cost of them becoming a lead and then becoming a customer or a client is actually less than it was 2 years ago. And I believe in my heart and my soul is because of the fact that we focus so much on building brand. And we teach all our clients to do the exact same thing. But it is difficult to do if you're on a tight budget at the same time.
And I know a lot of our customers on that jump on calls with us actually say they've been following us for the past 3 years. They love what we are doing, and essentially the time from we initiating contact with them, not in the first time, but on a physical call after they've been following us for 3 years, and the time they take to close as a customer is much faster than a brand new customer who've never heard about our brand or who've never heard about us. So that also shortens our time to acquire a customer significantly.
100%. So, I mean, I would love to just unpack the difference between having trust and credibility in a brand versus trust and credibility in a product, because it's really two different things. I mean, you can have a product in the market that you can build trust and credibility for, but I think if your brand doesn't really have the the trust as well. If people don't really know the brand in itself, you know, you make it more difficult for yourself to launch future products or services that people might trust. So the biggest, the best thing that you can really do is find out, how can I make the brand stand out in terms of trust and credibility? And from there, understand that the brand hosts different products. And those products should also each one have their own kind of like, you know, in isolation, success, an undeniable stack of proof that that product actually works the way that, you know, it wanted to. And you need to be able to prove that to people.
I think the one thing that immediately comes to mind there is getting the product into the right hands. And by the right hands, I mean influencers, for example. You know, you want the influencers to be able to have that product, maybe review that product, use that product. Influencers, by definition, have influence. Mm. So ideally, you want to be in a position where they can actually be, are there to assist that product, your product, to get into people's news feeds or faces, and using it in their own marketing because they have a bit of a following and they have some influence. And so they can give your product the awareness, the publicity it deserves. And by doing that, that's one way of now starting to get some traction on your product. Because obviously, if I see the influencer using this product and they like it and they're endorsing it, then by definition, authority bias, the influencer's authority, that there gives your product a lot more credibility. And essentially, that's the stuff that helps influence a person to actually buy that product. So, I mean, that's one way particularly that comes to mind initially. But then, go for it.
What I'm also hearing you say is like it just boils down to social proof, essentially. It's like just having the influencer, you know, get that product in front of more people's, you know, more eyeballs, more people would end up buying the product, and hopefully more content, or because this is what happened. Like if someone, and I look at Fire Room, the restaurant, they have gotten this down to the T. So I don't know if everybody knows the Fire Room, but what they've done is amazingly, incredibly intelligent and well thought out, because what they've done is, what happens is the moment someone puts a meal in front of you, if it's, you know, contextual to something that can be fried, not fried, but like lit up with a flame, hence the name Fire Room, they actually come with a blowtorch and they, you know, light that up. So if it's a piece of steak or, you know, even with sushi, they would like blowtorch this whole meal of yours to the point where it looks incredibly, you know, interesting. So the first thing people do is they take out their phones and they record it and they go, they put it on social media. And that then creates a sense of social proof, because now people are seeing it on social and it's proof that the meal, one, looks amazing, and two, is actually a legitimate restaurant down the road that offers a good service and a good meal. So in essence, that social proof allows the next customer to come and look at it and going, well, if everybody else is enjoying it, if everybody else has really found this interesting, I'm probably going to find it interesting too. So having an influencer essentially kickstart the process for you is always a good way to start. I mean, it's not necessarily the only way to start, but that can help get you across that first barrier of trust. Hopefully then more people can buy into the product, and if you can get reviews from them or proof that they've actually used it in some way, shape or form by some content that you can leverage again on your website or on your platforms, now you're creating that social proof essentially as well.
Another one is, I mean, if I were to try and get more credibility on the product and I trust the my product, I believe in it with my heart and soul, I would look to potentially publishers. Maybe if it's a tech product, for example, I might want to get it in front of a publisher who writes articles every single week about new technology, and try and get ultimately them to review my product, or, you know, put an article out and I say, hey, I'll give you my product if you would be able to give me an honest review, an article about it. If your product's good enough, you should get a positive review. But I mean, once you have something like that published about your article, especially in a well-known magazine, online magazine, then those are the things that, again, you can now start adding to your product pages and say, as featured in TechCrunch or as featured in.
A good way to do that as well, you can, I'm sure there's like websites you can pay celebrities to review your products as well. That's a really good way to really, if you want to get to market fast and if you want to really build some trust and credibility fast for your products, you can always buy trust and credibility. I'm sure you can buy articles, you can buy celebrities and send them your stuff and they could review it for you, and you can run those as ads, which will all obviously create really good trust and credibility as well.
So it's funny, remember we had a cameo with Charlie Sheen from Two and a Half Men.
Yeah.
It's funny, like all the things we're discussing now are things that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm saying. Like we've paid a lot of information. We've paid a lot of money for this information. And we've executed on all the information and tips that we've gotten. And remember, so this is actually what happened. I don't know if you recall 2018. We both spoke at, we got our first public speaking gigs in 2018. I can't remember where it was. But I do know we both had talking opportunities. Mm-hmm. And we leveraged that in a conversation with the client saying, hey, look, you know, we offer these public speaking opportunities. That's even before we had the book. Then after that, remember, I wrote articles for Entrepreneurs Mag and SMEs South Africa. And people would see that on the site saying featured in, which was true. Like we wrote articles, and I think you wrote one or two articles. Mm. So we were both public speaking. We were both writing articles for credible sources. Then we got a cameo from Charlie Sheen, who essentially helped us, you know, get some credibility, because people would then go onto the site, see that we're doing public speaking gigs. So we took those photos, literally added it to our site back then on the homepage so that it looked like, you know, we had images and photos of ourselves standing in front of a bunch of people. And immediately in the back of a client's mind, it goes, okay, well, obviously these people are legit because, you know, who's going to get them on stage to share information if they're not? You know, true. Mm-hmm. So in essence, we had that on the site. We had featured in from SME South Africa and Entrepreneurship Magazine. And then also we had the cameo from Charlie Sheen. And then we had a couple of good reviews. Like, you know, we still have a ton of really good reviews. And we get them all, you know, we get them on a regular basis. We're not perfect as an agency. Obviously, we're not trying to preach that. But in essence, it's a matter of understanding, like, the reviews plus the cameo from a celebrity, plus featured in, plus the fact that we actually were, you know, speaking in public, all created a sense of trust. And it was, there's this reduced risk now of doing business with us. And that allowed us to, let's say, for example, we had 10 conversations with potential clients. If we were lucky enough to close two or three of those deals, having that in place allowed us to close 6-7 out of those deals, which means we were taking business away from competitors that would have potentially gone to them. And this is how you increase your chances of success if you just follow the same steps.
Yeah, even if you look at our website right now, like I'm sure like 70-80% of our website is social proof. It's like testimonial videos. We have a little sales letter there. I'm sure our book is also on there. Yeah. And then we have a bunch of Google reviews. So our website is really just a kind of like a place where people can just see our authority in the marketplace, really.
100%.
Yeah, and then obviously, you know, just ensuring to get reviews from the customers themselves. Another way that's also pretty good in terms of helping accumulate reviews, depending on what you can or how many products you can give away. But competitions are also a nice way to actually get a lot of reviews for your products, meaning, you know, you could have run a competition, maybe 5-6 winners. And you ensure that of those 5-6 winners, they all are giving you reviews as part of, you know, entering the competition. They should review your product and tell people more about why it's such an amazing product. So running a competition as well, just to help, one, put the product into people's hands, but two, getting those people that do win, giving you a review, and helping people, other people who read those reviews, to better, you know, understand the product, why it's awesome, and ideally why you might want to purchase it. So competitions, we've done millions of them at this stage, but those also help just in terms of, you know, helping you gain, one, obviously visibility, but two, using them for reviews after they've got the product in their hand.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are listening or watching this going like, but what if I'm struggling to get all these reviews? What if I'm struggling to get, what if I don't have the money to pay for someone to say something, you know, about my business, or at least give me an authentic review after trying the product, whatever it is? And to them, I can say there's other ways that you can go about building trust. It doesn't have to be social proof. It doesn't have to be reviews. It doesn't have to be featured in situations. You can also build trust by offering a guarantee. So understanding that a guarantee is a sense of trust, because someone is now more inclined to take you up on your offer if you have a specific guarantee or something that can help them reduce the risk of doing business with you. And it's funny, because most business owners, when they go into business with each other, they would go through all the due diligence to put everything in black and white, make sure they've got a, you know, an agreement in place, a memorandum of understanding, and, you know, whatever you need in order to sleep better at night, knowing that you're not going to be screwed over. But then when it comes to our customers and clients, we don't really care. Like, we sell our products, it's just assuming that they're going to trust it and believe that it's going to work. And it really doesn't work that way. We really just have to ask ourselves, what are we doing to reduce the risk of clients and customers buying our products or services? And that in itself builds trust and credibility. So having a money back guarantee, having guarantees, and something else that you could potentially think of is if you're selling physical products specifically, or even a service, like, have you won certain awards? We've won one or two small awards, nothing major, but it's understanding that that builds trust and credibility too. Someone can see that you have excelled in a specific category or criteria when it comes to your service, and that in itself builds trust and credibility. So the product that you use, the ingredients that's in the product, do you have some sort of certification that can prove that that ingredient is actually legit, that it's been clinically tested, or do you have any form of certification to prove that, you know, everything is, you know, kosher? And I mean that, no pun intended. But at the same time, it's understanding that there are other ways that you can go about building trust and credibility.
Yeah, it's also taking your product or your solution taking it from all angles, really, and also just perhaps making content of it. That's also a really free way for you to start building trust and credibility, is standing up in that particular space and acting like the authority in that space, and carrying yourself across that people, and helping people understand what the problems are, what the solutions are, and yeah, really just dissecting that.
I mean, real people want to buy from real people. So that's just the simple way of looking at it, going, if you're selling to people, then you need to understand that they want to buy from real people. And can you showcase that your brand is real, that your product is real, that you have real individuals behind the scenes grafting, operating? Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when I was still in the sports nutrition space, we literally took a video. This was back in 2015 or 16. I took a video of them actually manufacturing the product. And that got so many views and shares just because it was a fascinating machine that actually, that was more entertaining than it was building trust and credibility. People shared it because it was entertaining. But in essence, it built trust and credibility because people could see that there's a real process involved and that we manufacturing these products ourselves, and that's not just being outsourced to some random company, you know, outside of the country or in the country somewhere. Essentially, it's actually us putting our hard-earned money into a machine and putting our own intellectual property into building something which created a sense of trust and credibility.
You remind me of such another awesome example of an e-commerce brand that selling traditional attire, customized traditional attire, unique attire, and there were sandals. The sandals were all handmade, and there were beads. And it took some time to make these sandals with the beads on them and everything like that. So what the owner did, again, trying to showcase how she as a brand and everything in behind the scenes, at least, to help people connect, to help people truly understand what exactly goes into making a product, but also, you know, what the brand is all about. She actually took a picture of her mother, and the mom was sitting there knitting away.
Oh, wow.
At the sandals, you know, because they're handmade. And the amount of engagement and reaction orders that brought was absolutely insane. She literally ran out of, she didn't even have enough hands to fulfill all the orders. there was only a specific amount that she can make, obviously because it's also handmade. And, you know, these are the aspects around marketing, especially when you say things like handmade products. Show people that they're handmade. Yeah, it's one thing to write.
Prove it.
Show it to us. You know, and then we believe you and we can see it. And we're like, whoa, the mom's sitting there knitting away my sandals. Mm-hmm. Do you know how much more invested people become? Because now they really believe you and they trust. And they're like, wow. So there's that emotional response that you get from things like that. And sometimes maybe, you know, I know businesses might take that for granted, but you've obviously given also an example like that.
Yeah, man, it's actually looking at that, saying that it is handmade and you've actually put proof right in front showing there's an actual human being, not only a human being, my actual family member sitting there, you know, putting this together for you so you can wear it at your convenience. And that in itself is so powerful. And I think we just completely underestimate. We live in a world where technology has, obviously it's played its part in allowing us to build and grow businesses a lot faster. But the downside is that we think almost everything can be automated in some way, shape, or form, and everything is just going to be a click and then I get sales. And a lot of people are being sold into this dream when they're starting businesses, especially e-commerce businesses, that all you have to do is just go onto Alibaba, install the software, click accept, and then this product's going to be on your store. And then you run a Facebook ad by clicking three little steps, and then you run this Facebook ad that's going to make you sales. And we just completely miss what actually makes all of that successful. And it's the psychological component of it all is, you know, in this case, you know, trust and credibility, whether you're an actual real business that I can trust. And I think, you know, I'm really enjoying this episode because I think it's so crucial.
Yeah, that's really where it starts. Like I remember starting my agency about 3 years ago as well, and the main thing that I leveraged was the fact that we were working with a franchise at that time. And as soon as somebody heard that, like it was almost like evident that they would listen to us in a way, and that would open the door for us to make the sale. That would open the door for us to pitch a particular strategy, and for the client to believe us that that's going to work. And yeah, ultimately, that helped us a lot.
I think, you know, I want to conclude this episode by obviously just reiterating really how trust and credibility affects sales. Like it's clear, 100% clear, tangibly clear. We've got proof of this on the back of Facebook and Google. And even our own business is a testament of that, that trust and credibility can dramatically impact your return on investment. Dramatically, number one. Number two, we can see that brands that have or carry a certain trust in the market immediately have a much lower CPL, cost per lead, or CPA, cost per acquisition, than a brand that doesn't. So in essence, if you are a business starting out and your business is, let's say, it's not really even a maturity in terms of years. It's more got to do with how much, the more trust and credibility you have, automatically the older the brand is also being perceived, the more mature the brand is being perceived. Mm. Does that make sense? So it's almost like, because when people buy products and services, they also, there's this sense of the more mature the business is, the more I trust the business, because the more they have a proven concept and a proven system or a proven product or a proven whatever it is. Now, trust and credibility can immediately shorten. It's a cognitive bias hack, episode two, that essentially can get you to understand this business is mature, whether it's got to do in their own mind, it might be a matter of years or months, or how they're perceiving it is really irrelevant, but it seems that the business is mature and successful. And I think starting out and concluding this episode, I want to ask you, Gil and Vix, if a new business came to you, and you've had many of these conversations actually, Gilbert, like if a new e-commerce business came to you and they wanted to grow their business and you knew that they didn't have the necessary trust and credibility in order, you know, really to succeed from a marketing perspective, what would be the first couple of things that you would suggest they do? Like what 3 to 4 or 5 things that they need to be doing in order to build up that trust and credibility as quickly as possible?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're a new business, there's a paid aspect and a non-paid. Paid meaning, as I mentioned, if you have the bucks and you have the money, you could get somebody like of an influencer or a couple of influencers to get your products into their hands and help them do the marketing for you. If you don't have those bucks and you can't afford influencers, then it's a matter of looking at risk reversals. I think we also say customers also looking for reasons not to buy from you, right? And you alluded to something very important. It's like, what can you offer, bring to the marketplace to reduce the risk of this customer doing business with you? I mean, even having a discount is technically a way of actually reducing risk, right? It's like, this thing's $1,000 for that. But if you said to me, you know what, I'll give it to you for 50% off, you are technically reducing the risk of me buying that product, because now you've just lowered the barrier for me to purchase it and lower barrier to entry.
I want to add to that, and yes, you've removed the risk, but if the trust is not there, it's almost like I've seen a lot of brands do this, is that they would discount their product trying to remove the risk, but it's almost like if that element of trust and credibility is not there, regardless of how cheap it is, I'm probably not going to spend the money because I don't know if I'm going to get it.
No, true.
You understand what I'm saying? It's looking at it going, regardless of how cheap the product is, it's not going. So first, this is why this is episode number 4, is like the first thing that you need to be ticking is trust and credibility, because regardless of how cheap the product is, I don't even know whether it's $100 or $200, it doesn't really matter. Like, I don't know if I'm going to get it from you. Like, I don't even know if the product is real. No, so sure. I feel like what you said, it makes so much sense. But with the added element of trust and credibility, that tactic of risk removal is going to be so much more powerful.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think additionally to that, I mean, you've always got to think about how can I get it into the hands of individual. Oh, one thing I would actually do is I'll tell all my aunties and uncles and cousins and friends about the products I've got now.
Low-hanging fruit.
Exactly, your low-hanging fruit. In fact, I would be selling it. I would make sure that my product is in the hands of people that can give me a review, that already trust me as an individual. Because, you know, the thing is, if you trust me, Gilbert, as an individual, and I'm like, hey, Jay, I started an online store. This is my product. This is what I'm selling. I'd love for you to try it out and then let me know what you think. You try it out. There's a good chance you'll give me a positive review because you like me, right? But in my mind, I'm thinking, listen, I need to get credibility and I need to do it somehow. So the low-hanging fruit, I've already got a trust circle. So where I can get that credibility from is those individuals. If you have 100 friends, lucky for you, you have 100 friends, but introduce your product to all your friends and say, guys, listen, here's my product. I really appreciate it if you had a look at it, or even not even give them product, just have a look at it, use it, tell me what you think of it. I need some reviews to add more brand credibility. And hopefully, I mean, if they really like you and they really are your friends, and if you know they believe that you have a good product, they should happily go and give you a review. So I'm just looking at also just low-hanging fruit of people, circles that you may know of people that will happily give you a review for the products that you actually have. That is a place where I would also start if I had zero. I know I don't have any money to be paying for influencers, to be paying to be featured in magazines or any of that. Look around you, look at your low-hanging fruit, your connections, and see how they can help review your brand or review your product for you, just to get a bit of that credibility at the start.
I think, and you can do so much with that. Like, even if you just got 5 reviews or 10 reviews from low-hanging fruit friends, you can screenshot that, add it to your ads. You can put it on the landing page. You can emphasize it wherever you want to. Put it in email automations. There's so much you can do with that. I think we underestimate how much leverage and how much mileage we can actually get out of whether it's 1 or 2 reviews.
And it's. I mean, it could be, the way you would go about it is also just like, you've brought in a new product. You want to get reviews, as many of them as possible. Hey, Tom. Hey, John. Hey, Gil. I got this new product. I'd love for you guys to test it out. Please let me know what you think. And yes, then you start screenshotting all those reviews. If they've used the product, they like it. Just those small little reviews is enough to at least add a little bit more credibility. Yeah. Rather have some than none. Because none, out of sight, out of mind. So now I'm going to sit there and be like, I don't trust this brand at all.
So just to conclude, right? So a new brand coming on board, they don't have much trust and credibility. A couple of things that they need to focus on in order to, you know, at least be on some level of credibility and trust.
Right. So the first thing is ensuring that you, if you can, go get yourself influencers. They can help market your brand and obviously give it the trust and credibility to...
I want
to
add that you can use the content that they've created in your own ads, in your landing pages, in your emails. If, again, the mileage of that content that's actually being created.
Two, low-hanging fruit. Look around in your circles. Who are people that you can happily, you'll be happily able to give them the product so that they can actually give you reviews, honest feedback, honest reviews, even if it's just five to put up on your website. That already in itself is trust and credibility at the end of the day. And the third one, risk reversal. So looking and seeing how can you reverse the risk of the customer doing business with you. If it's a 60-day money-back guarantee, 30-day money-back guarantee, something like along those lines where the customer feels that they're not going to be done under, if, especially if they're not happy with the product, they at least can at least return it and get their money back. But also that, and I think businesses shouldn't fear having returns. If you're getting returns, you need to find out why you're getting returns. Those are indications that you need to improve something, right? It doesn't necessarily mean you shouldn't be fearful like, oh, now I'm going to get 100 returns. No. If you get 100 returns, you get 100 returns, but then you probably also learn 100 lessons on how to improve your product.
Well, at the same time, if you're not offering returns, your competitors most likely are, so you're going to be losing out on that deal.
Exactly.
Vic, so on your end, local business starting out, or, you know, essentially want to work with an agency or whatever it is, just improve their sales processes and strategies, got no credibility, what would you advise?
Yeah, number one, we would look at their social channels, and usually you want a healthy number of likes and follows on those channels, and good looking branding and posts, and just so it looks like you're an active big brand on social media. Because if that's your primary source of acquiring customers, you want that to look legit, obviously. So social media, big one, we need a following on there. And we would usually run a competition campaign to get some likes and follows on a page. Just above 1,000 is pretty good.
Yeah, like touching on that, like it's such a psychological barrier. Like if you see an ad and you really like the product and you go back to the Facebook page and there's like 10 people liking it, you're like, you know, this is where brand trust comes in. But if you've got, let's say, like that 3-4 figure likes or follows, then it's like, okay, this is legit.
Yeah, and another thing is like, as soon as somebody sees an ad or something from your business on social media or hears something about your business from a friend, they're automatically going to do their research and background checks. And just having a good brand, good website, a decent social following, really good-looking posts and a good-looking brand on your website and on your Facebook social pages, it really goes a long way to just prove that you say who you say you are whenever you promote somebody or whenever you promote your brand or whenever somebody refers you. That goes a long way. So number one, we look at the socials, how good that is, how good is your brand, do you have a website that looks good as well. Those are really the foundations, and then we start diving deeper into, cool, how can we prove that this particular service or this particular product is going to give the results that we say it is. So that's when we touch on customer reviews and before and afters and stuff like that. So when you, let's say you have a solar business, you could have a picture from before and after in terms of the installation, not really that that's going to show people, but it just also, it's another way of, an angle of marketing it.
But that would be a lot more powerful for a beauty business.
Exactly,
if someone had pigmentation or, before and after.
Or for a cleaning business. So showing a room before and showing a room after you've cleaned it. And then, that's a really good way of building trust and credibility.
Love it, man. We can talk about this all day, but unfortunately we don't have the time. But I hope that there was enough value in you watching or listening. Gilbert, thank you for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Vickers, thanks for joining. I want to say thank you to you. Thanks for your attention. Hope there was value in it. And we're going to be signing off our fourth episode. We'll see you again next week. Cheers. All the best.